good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. And I send greetings not from the magical Isle of Vashon, but from Michigan, where I am surrounded by friends of family rank, people with whose family I have been a part for over 40 years. I'm broadcasting to you, as I always do, live, unscripted, and unrehearsed. And because these are people who have never been on the radio before, Lord only knows what's going to come out and how it's all going to happen. But your captain, as always, will maintain firm and seamanlike control over the proceedings, and we're going to have a lovely afternoon broadcast. Greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, of whose capital is the city of Stockholm. I had a lovely message today from Dr. Professor in Stockholm, in which he took to heart my admonitions of last week, in which we talked about feeling a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live, and motivated him to book a trip to the Netherlands to help out a friend who has sent up a Mayday. So when things like that happen, it warms the cockles of your sea captain's heart, because what it means is that we are, in fact, reaching out, touching fingertips with people that we love and with whom we are connected in a number of different ways. I just touched fingertips with the lovely Melissa, who is one of the family that I have known for all of these years when I was stationed up in the Soon. We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. So on the binnacle list, the sick list, I'm adding Kevin to all of the people, Captain Joe's people, who are in some sort of medical or other kind of distress. And Kevin is about ready to undergo some major surgery. And so he has now acquired a high place on the captain's binnacle list. And as always, it is my wish and my desire and command that everyone who is on the binnacle list do all of the things that you're supposed to do in order to get off the binnacle list the right way, which is to recover rather than to cross over your particular bar. So we're going to get into it with a birthday recognition. And the reason that I am here in Michigan, which is the site of my favorite shore duty when I was still a serving officer, was when I was up in the Sioux. And we're in a part of Michigan, and we're staying at a lodge called the Shack. Now, you would think that the Shack probably was indeed just that, but in fact, it is a lovely, lovely place. It has a number of outbuildings, and one of the outbuildings, actually two of them, there are two different museums here. And in one of those museums, it is filled up with motor cars, and in particular with Lincolns and other Ford products. So the person who started and built the Shack, it's all logs and it's very rustic. The grass and all of the grounds are immaculately kept up, and so the Shack is really a misnomer. The price that one pays to stay at the Shack includes meals. And we have now had two servings of meatloaf, and somehow or other the meatloaf has not met with complete approbation by all of my, Melissa liked it, but not all of Captain Joe's people. And so you can say, if you come and stay at the Shack, that you may want to sample the dinners one time and then possibly go and eat someplace else. But that, of course, is up to you. In this museum, in these museums, there are a number of signs that say, do not touch. And one of the members, friends of family rank, is one of those people who is compelled to touch everything in which there is a sign that says, do not touch. And she has touched every Lincoln over in that museum, setting off alarm bells all over the Shack. And it's making it very difficult to take her any place. So I'm going to put the matriarch on, Ivy Laurel, who, and the way that we came to know each other was that when I was the commander in the Sioux, Ivy worked for me. She was one of the civilian employees of the base complex. And it is her birthday. That's why we're all of us were gathered here at the shack eating meatloaf 2-3 times a day. So I'm going to pass the telephone over to Ivy Laurel for a very quick greeting to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. So here you go, love. It's your turn.
Well, I feel very fortunate to be here, and I can't imagine our lives without him. We've had a wonderful time here, and I know he has too, and we, none of us knew what to expect, but I'm telling you, we have been to see the power, and it was a wonderful thing. And then we went on a doom buggy ride today. And Captain is just one of those people that once you know him, and if there's ever anything wrong in your life, you know that he's the one that's going to be there to help you. He's stalwart. He's wonderful. He never fails to come true when we consider the privilege to have him. I consider him the patriarch of all of these things.
So with that high level of encomium, your captain is a little bit gobsmacked at the intensity of Ivy Laurel's comment. I am not so sure that I am truly the patriarch of this particular group of friends of family rank, but we have indeed been through a lot together, and now unto the third generation that we are all of us together. So Ivy talked about some of the things that we have done, and I have to remark here that Janet and Kevin is Ivy Laurel's son, Janet and Kevin have done just an incredibly wonderful job at putting together this whole gathering, and one of the things that we did was, as Ivy Laurel said, that we went to a dairy farm. Now, I do not come from a farm background, and so there were things that happened at this dairy farm that I learned from. And one of the things that I learned from was not to let a horse get too close to me, because I got bitten by a horse, and this was a horse that had not been briefed, that one does not bite the captain. So not only did I get bitten by the horse, but we went through all of the barns, and one of the things that I learned was that cows nowadays are milked by some sort of a robotic machine. People do not get under the cow, thus risking life and limb when they do that, and they don't even actually hook up a machine by hand to the cow. They have this robot that does it. And so I was led to wonder, knowing how the proclivities of machinery are, sometimes they fail, I was led to wonder what happens when the robots all go down. Well, it turns out that they have something like 13 or 14 of these robots. They don't even have to have a person to move the cows into the robot locker, where the robot automatically connects itself to the cow and starts to do the milking. So all of these things that I am learning, here we are in what is clearly the second half of my life, and I'm learning such things as cows being milked by robots, horses not being briefed, not to bite the captain. And then the second thing that we did was today we went out onto the Michigan Dunes. And I have to report that in the 3 years that I was stationed here, I have never gone to the Michigan Dunes, which are on Lake Michigan. In fact, where we are right now is a little bit south of the boundary of my jurisdiction when I was the commander here. But one of the things that we did was that we went to a lighthouse. Now, you all know that not only am I involved with the lighthouse at Point Robinson, but that I am not personally a Wiki, a person who maintained as a Coast Guard specialty, the Marine Ace to Navigation. I'm a ship driver, and I use the product. But I became involved with Point Robinson, I learned a lot about lighthouses. And so we went to what the label on the brief history says Little Sable, S-A-B-L-E, and I have to report that the word Sable is not pronounced that way. It's pronounced Sab, and that's because all of the Great Lakes were explored by both French voyageurs and by French religious, in particular some of the Jesuits. And so that there are place names which are French-derived, and the Little Sab and Great Sab are two of those places. There's a wonderful lighthouse at Little Sab, and so I marched up to it, and you know that your captain believes that he knows everything. And so I marched up to this lighthouse, and I proclaimed that is a beautiful French first-order lens. And we got all the way up to the lighthouse, and I said, what a beautiful first-order lens. And the second person who had not been briefed is not to bite the captain or to declare the captain has made a mistake. He said, well, that's a third-order lens. And I looked up and said, oh, so I'm looking way up. This is a very high lighthouse. It's so high that I elected not to climb to the top of it. I know that all of you will be disappointed to hear that I chose not to climb to the top of that lighthouse. And so he said, that's a third-order lens. And not only is it a third-order lens, but only the top part of it rotated. Second thing that I learned today was that there were Fresnel lenses that not the entire lens rotated. So it is indeed a third-order. And so I said, trying to recover from this correction, I said, who built it? Because the fifth order lens that is in Point Robinson Lighthouse was built by the French firm Lamonier in Paris, and he had to confess that he did not know. Well, redemption on my part, that here is somebody else who is very much involved with lighthouses, and he did not know. And so there were some young people there, and I congratulated him in particular, because I believe very strongly that young people, especially people who are 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, should be learning about these things, because they are all part of the story of who we are, how we got here, how we interact with the people who lived here before we came. All of these things are part of it, and in particular in the Great Lakes. Michigan has more lighthouses than any other state in the Union. Many of those lighthouses were under my jurisdiction, and Ivy Laurel was part of my organization that helped to take care of them. While I was stationed in the Sioux, I got to know Ivy's children, and the two of them sitting right next to me here. And Melissa is sharing her apple juice. It's not because she drinks apple juice as a regular thing, but because that was what was available. She's sharing that with me. And Melissa, I'm going to ask you to say something quickly, briefly. That expression on your face is telling me you don't want to do this. Oh, okay. So Melissa's going to give us some life advice. She's up sitting with me in the captain's chair. Here you go, love.
For all of you who may or may not have a flat tire on your mother's wedding day, call the captain and he will come watch you change your tire and offer some advice, but he will not help you complete the task. However, it does make for one great memory where women indeed learned to roar on their own. And for that, I am grateful. And it was raining. Yes, it was just all around bad luck. But Captain was there in that moment and is one of our treasured memories.
So that's a true story, as all of my stories are true stories. And it has not been embellished, as none of my stories are embellished, although Mary R. used to say that. But we are, as usual, the time is marching on, and I have a couple of announcements that I need to get on here. So, first of all, the Coast Guard cutter Glacier is going to have a reunion of all people that can be rounded up and who, of course, are still alive. That it's going to be on the 16th to the 18th of September in Seattle. I will be there for that reunion, and I will be ready to deliver some memories of Glacier when I was her manager, when I was the ICE boss for Commandant Jim Gracie, Admiral Jim Gracie. And the person to contact for all of you people who are on the Coast Guard channel, your contact is our own administrator, Fred Nichols. And Fred, you are hereby authorized to put my name down as one of those who is committed to coming to the reunion, and that we pass the word out to all Glacier people, and even those who are not Glacier people but who would like to have been Glacier people will get a warm welcome at the Glacier reunion. And at least part of it will be at the Coast Guard base on Alaskan Way in Seattle. And the rest of it is going to be announced, to be announced, Tango Bravo Alpha. Sunday is Father's Day. You all have heard me pontificate from the captain's chair on how every day should be Mother's Day, every day should be Father's Day, in which all of us who have mothers and fathers, which is almost all of us, have should honor these parents every day of the year and not just on some special day. But this coming Sunday is proclaimed to be Father's Day, and your captain will be out at Point Robinson Light starting at noon. And I will be giving tours and talking to the children of fathers about how they should be honoring their father every day and not just on this coming Sunday. So I'll be out there all afternoon. I will be doing tours. And Mother's Day and Father's Day are always really a great time. We just have a really good time. There are lots of really good shells on the beach. So bring your little ditty bag for collecting your shells. Two anniversaries today, the Army's 247th birthday, and also Flag Day. So I am looking around, and right at the peak of the shack where you go in to get in the queue. Oh, I should have mentioned that when you go for meatloaf, you get it from a buffet line. And so at the peak of the office where the ever-lovely Addie, who has been in charge of taking care of us for the meals anyway and checking us in, oh, and also telling us that if we don't return the key, which is hooked onto a block of wood, if we don't return that, then there are terrible fines to get charged to our credit card. So right at the peak of the office building for the shack is the American flag. Today is indeed Flag Day, and although I am not on the Magical Isle, I know that the Legion members and the VFW members have all put flags up on Vashon Highway Southwest, right through the middle of town. And because many of my friends of family rank are Canadian rather than, and I don't believe that Canada has a Flag Day, but in memory of Flag Day, and because there are so many Canadians here, and of course I'm related by marriage to every Canadian who has the surname of Redmond. So in all of those cases, we're going to see if we can't find a maple leaf flag and get it up. And then Kevin is going to sing O Canada. That's it. That's all you get. Melissa just handed me this on her version of the Andy phone. At the stroke of noon on February 15th, well, we missed that. We missed February 15th. Canada's red and white maple leaf flag was raised for the very first time on Parliament Hill. And before that, the flag of Canada was, of course, the Union Jack. So, and then there is a question. People also ask, do Canadians celebrate Flag Day? Well, I doubt that. Yeah. So, anyway, there's Flag Day today, and today, happy birthday to Truman, my dear friend and colleague, Captain Truman O'Brien, who is a Vietnam veteran like me, but he served in the Army, and he served in an intelligence unit in the interior. And one of the things that Truman did was to fly spotter missions in the little spotter aircraft. He was there a little bit before I was, so he never spotted artillery fire for us. But I honor Truman in many different ways. I honor him for his service, and in particular for his Vietnam service. So, 247th birthday, Truman. I bet you didn't. I bet you passed that one by.
Actually, Captain Joe, I'm here, and I didn't. I recognized it today.
Well, well done.
I played the Caissons Go Marching On.
Wow. Did you do that during with Molly this
morning? I did indeed. Yes, sir.
Did she sing the words?
No. Luckily, no.
Did you sing the words?
More luckily, no.
No. All right. Well, in any case, my dear friend, I honor you not only for your service, but your Army time, and let us hope that our collective Army buddies, which you have been good enough to share with me, are listening to us today, because that connection in which you do me great honor is really important to me.
Thank you,
so,
Joe.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
So, and a little bit of unfortunate news, and this is in keeping with something that you and I on the captain's chair, from the captain's chair, have talked about, is that the Navy continues to fire commanding officers at an alarming rate. And now they have fired the commanding officer of their recruit training command at Great Lakes right here in Michigan. And the press release that came out about that did not have anything to say about why he was fired. But we always like to believe that the very best people are put into our training commands, and especially for basic training. The best people should be training our people that are just coming into the service, because that's a key to their retention when it comes time for them to reenlist. So the commanding officer at Great Lakes has been fired. And furthermore, the captain and the chief of the boat in the destroyer USS Bulkley has also been fired. Bulkley is an interesting name. She is named for the PT boat captain who brought MacArthur out of Corregidor at the beginning of World War II, and Bulkley received the Medal of Honor, and MacArthur received the Medal of Honor. But it was John Bulkley, who was the one who brought MacArthur and his family out of Corregidor in early 1942, so that they would not be captured by the Japanese when Corregidor fell. And Bulkley went on to become a rear admiral, and he died a number of years ago, full of years and full of honor. And the USS Bulkley is named for him, and now her captain and her chief of the boat have both been fired. Again, we don't know what that was all about, and I am so concerned when these things happen, because they are indicative of things that need to be looked at and need to be worked over in the U.S. Navy. The other thing that's happened in the Navy is that the Navy and the Marine Corps, within the last 10, they've had three aircraft crashes, two of which were fatal. And that has caused both the Chief of Naval Operations and the Commandant of the Marine Corps to invoke a safety stand down, which means that nobody flies until they have briefings and instruction on aircraft safety. And once again, to me, this is indicative of things that need to be looked at in a very by the most senior levels of the Navy. And they are all of a piece with the collisions that we have talked about many times before with McCain, USS McCain, and USS Fitzgerald. Things are going a little bit south with the Navy, and they desperately need to have some examination of all of that. So for all of Captain Joe's people, I'm looking around here to see if there's anybody that I need to point at to come on the broadcast with me. And seeing only those who have gotten down underneath the bench where they believe that they are in out of sight, that believe that they are invisible, it is... time, as we always get very quickly to the end of our half hour together, for your Captain Joe to remind everybody that if you are one of those people like me who is responsible for other people, it is my wish and my hope and my command that you do the things that you are supposed to do. If you're on the binnacle list, do what your medical people tell you to do. And keep in mind that we never say goodbye. We only say until we meet again. And that this is, yes, Kevin has put his hand up. Yes, yes. Well, it was kind of Kevin to remind me of that, yes. And it was a very hard, very large horse. It was a Belgian, and they are really big. Hard to bite back a Belgian. Yes, we did. Yes, we bonded. It's yeah. That's sort of horses and I conceive an immediate and intense dislike for each other right from the very start. So, so this is your Captain Joe. I'm as always on station and watching properly. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.